Jeremiah chapter number 4. I love learning and expanding my vocabulary. I've been studying this chapter for a few weeks here in Jeremiah chapter 4, and I used a word that I learned from this chapter. And Rachel looked at me and she said, "Well, that's a mighty big word." And I said, "Yes, it is. Do you know what it means?" And she said, "No." I said, "Ha, you should look it up. I'll tell you what it is later, but you'll have to figure it out." There were two words, though. The first one I mentioned this morning. And so the word's only used three times throughout Scripture. One time in a totally different context and meaning, and then two times with the same meaning and really the same direction that God gave to, that God told to Jeremiah to tell to the children of Judah, and that God told Hosea as he was giving his prophecy. God said the same thing. And we're actually going to look at both of those. We're going to start in Jeremiah, and we'll reference Hosea here in just a little while. But we looked at last week, as the Lord was calling and speaking unto Israel and told them to return from their backsliding. And that message over and over and over again, return. And then when we come into chapter number 4, he is dealing with Israel as well as Judah as he is giving them these instructions upon returning and how to return. And it's very, very important when we see throughout Scripture, when God gives instructions. Now, sometimes in life, in general, we make up our own instructions, don't we? We do. We try to follow instructions, or we see instructions and we think, "Well, I think it could be done this way." Or we follow directions. How many of you like following directions? How many of you go rogue and do it your own way? Do you see this? There was only four people that raised their hand and said, "I like following directions." And then almost everyone else said, "I like going rogue." My goodness, we need help, people. And I would have to agree that I am one that sometimes, you know, looks at the instructions one time or the directions and says, "Oh, okay, I got it," and then just kind of plows ahead. And every time I do, I mess up, Randall. Every time, something's off, and I have to go back and undo it and go back and look at the directions and start over. We're not talking about putting together something. We're talking about life. We're not talking about, you know, just simple instructions of how to build something or how to make a recipe or something like that. No, we're talking about life. And God is giving some directions here and giving some instructions on how to return. And when we return to God and we come back to God, it is not up to us to come back to God on our terms. We must come back to Him on His terms. And when we come to chapter 4, he begins these instructions, and he says in verse number 1, oh my goodness, what a word, if. I want to stop there just for a moment, because it is not a guarantee. It is not something. God, as he's getting ready to lay out these terms, he understands and he knows that Israel and Judah have the idea in their own mind that they may not. But he starts with, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of your evil doings. Verse 5, he says, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up a standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us, and it shall come to pass at that day that the heart of the king shall perish, the heart of the princes and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. And that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country to give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field they are, or are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet. The alarm of war, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. All the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. Pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. For Father, we need this tonight. And God, as we try and attempt to make some application here tonight, I pray that you would deal with my heart. I pray that you would deal with the hearts of those that hear the sound of my voice. For Father, we most certainly need to draw unto you. separate from those things that weigh us down, those sins that beset us. God, that we might sow a fruitful seed in a fruitful ground. God, that it would be pleasing unto You. And Father, as we see, we know that this message and this chapter was to Israel and to Judah, but Father, we can make application here tonight in our hearts. While we may not have a physical destruction come into our lives, Father, it's very likely and very possible, without heeding this message, God, that our spiritual lives and our spiritual land may lie desolate. May that not be the case. Help us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Again, as God lays out to Israel and to Judah their return, as He lays that out and He tells them exactly what they need to do, God in His foreknowledge and His hope and hoping that they would return and using Jeremiah, I don't know if you noticed the distraughtness of Jeremiah as he penned his own words and what he was thinking and what it was on his mind as God allowed him to do that. And as God was speaking to him to deliver this message, because when we see this message, as God says, if thou return unto Me, this will happen. But right after that, we see what is going to happen if they don't. And in His foreknowledge and in this, God knows, but I submit to you tonight that it is not too late. Amen? It's not too late to return to God. It's never too late to make your return to Him. So as He begins again in verse number 1, and we're going to stay primarily within these first 4 to 5 verses within the beginning of Jeremiah, but I want you to see that as He gives His return, He says, return unto Me in verse number 1, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of My sight, then shalt thou not remove. He says, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. And so we see this, but then He says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah, to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. And here He's giving this instruction to break up the fallow ground. This word fallow is the word that is used just 3 times in Scripture. The first reference in Deuteronomy chapter 12, I believe it is, it is referring to a fallow deer, a type of deer that was either a pale red or a yellow deer. So a fallow deer is one that is pale red or yellow in color, speaking about the color of the deer. But when we come to Jeremiah and he says, break up your fallow ground. Of course, there was a type of ground that was and around Jerusalem. We even have them here today. But this fallow ground was a certain type of ground. It was a type of ground that had a purpose. It was a type of ground that had been worked previously, but had never come to be exactly what the intent for the ground was to be. If you think, you need to think along the lines of a farming community. As that fallow ground or the ground is prepared for a sowing of the seed. So the farmer would go out and he would till that ground, and usually if and you see a lot of places where there's a lot of commercial farming, you'll have acres upon acres of ground that's gone out, and it gets disced and it gets tilled and it gets turned over and it gets turned over and it pulls out the weeds, and then it gets fertilized, and after it gets fertilized it gets the seeds planted in, and then the seeds that get planted, they begin to grow, and as those seeds begin to grow, it yields fruit or vegetables, and the farmer goes out and he takes the vegetables or the fruit from that field, and takes them in and begins to store them and put them up, and a lot of times begins to share with others, and a lot of farming is done that way. And so we see here in this fallow ground, there were some steps that were missed. There were some steps that needed to take place beyond. So here's what happened within this fallow ground. The farmers would go out and they would do the work and the tilling of the ground. And they would go through that work and they would till that and they would till it and till it and till it. And then they would get to the place where it was time to sow the seed. But the seed was never sown. The fallow ground is a ground that was prepared for seed, that was designed to eventually yield fruit. But I want to remind you of something, that without the seed, there is no fruit. Amen. Unless we go out and we plant that seed into the ground that was prepared, there's no fruit. You have to work that ground. And that ground was worked. So that fallow literally means something that was unsowed and left alone after a year or more after tillage. It also means to be left unsowed after plowing, something that was uncultivated, unoccupied, and neglected. The fourth entry, it means that which is barren without fruit. You see, Israel had a purpose. Judah had a purpose in their life. God had called them. We can go back. We go all the way back to Abraham. What was their call? Their call was to serve God. Their call was to follow the Lord God, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. Right? Was that not their call? Was that not what God told them in the law when He called them and sent them into the promised land? Was that not their intent? And was that not their purpose? And as they had children, they were to teach those things diligently to them. As they rose up in the morning, they were to teach them. As they walked along the way, they were to teach them. As they went to bed at night, they were to teach them to follow God. Well, somewhere along the line, somebody started that, and they left it. They started it, but they got away. They had the ground tilled up, and here God is saying, if you're going to return, what are you returning to? Well, you ought to be returning to a land of fruitfulness. Well, in order to have fruitfulness, you've got to break up the fallow ground. And so the first thing that we see here upon this return, upon this coming back, we must break up the fallow ground. That fallow ground that was once designed for something, that was once prepared for something, that was once that God said, hey, this is it. And of course, this is not a ground that is physical in nature, but this is a spiritual ground in your life, in your heart, that God is saying to us tonight to plow up and to break up that fallow ground. I think back to times in my life that I said, maybe as a young teenager or in my early 20s, that, hey, I'm going to do this for God. You ever said something like this? I'm going to do this for God. And then we left it undone. Oh, God, help us. If God would allow me, I want to do this. And we started plowing that field. But then the cares of life got in our way. And we've left it only to be fallow. And God is saying, if thou wilt return, men of Judah, Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Notice what He says, and sow not among the thorns. I want you to hold your place here in Jeremiah. I want you to find Hosea. Just a few books over, Hosea chapter number 10. Hosea paints a beautiful picture here that complements this message of Jeremiah. As God is continuing to deal with the children of Israel and the men of Judah, he begins in verse number 1 of Hosea chapter 10. He says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodness of the land, and the goodness, the increase of the altars according to the goodness of the land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now they shall be found guilt faulty, and shall break down their altars, and shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant, thus judgment springing up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall also be carried unto Assyria for a present king unto Jareb, and Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off from the foam upon the water. The high places also of Aven, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come upon the altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. And they stood the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity, did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them. The people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. And I passed over upon her fair neck, and I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, and ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in the way in the multitude of mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortress shall be spoiled, and Shalem spoiled in Beth Rabel, and in the day of battle, and the mother was washed or dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Go back to verse number 12. Here's the third mentioning that we find this word fallow, this fallow ground. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And look what happens. We shall reap in mercy. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Hey, let me tell you something. Before we can reap in righteousness, or sow in righteousness, before we can reap in that mercy, that fallow ground of our heart, that fallow ground that we have left undone, that fallow ground that we have left barren, that fallow ground that we have left for years upon years, that we had intended to use for God, that we intended to use for His glory, for His honor, that is the ground that must be broken up. First of all, that before we begin to sow, he says in Jeremiah, don't sow among the thorns. In Hosea, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Oh, that we might have the mercy of God. In Jeremiah, he talks about the fire of the judgment of God coming down. But in Hosea, he talks about when we break up the fallow ground and the fruit that we shall have, it'll rain down righteousness. Amen. Can we have some rain tonight? Can we have some rain of righteousness upon our lives? Yes, we most certainly can if we come back. If we return, if we come back to that place and that field in our lives that we've left undone, and we break up that fallow ground and we begin to sow unto the, not among the thorns, but sow unto righteousness, sow unto doing what is right, that we may see the righteousness rain upon our lives. I don't know about you, but I like rain a whole lot more than I like fire. I don't want to be in the fire. No, sir. And this fire that God was talking about, if you go back to Jeremiah, as he talks about these things, and he says, I'm going to rain down this fire. It's coming. Oh, I don't want the fire judgment of God. I want the rain of righteousness. Oh, that the rain of righteousness might put out that fire of judgment. But we've got to break up the fallow ground. You say, well, it's already been tilled. He'll till it again. It was reserved to be used. It was reserved to grow fruit. And we've left it alone. We did the work that was necessary. But now it's barren without fruit. He says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. In verse number 4, he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. And take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench because of your evil doings. See that fire? He said in Hosea, you break up that fallow ground, you sow in righteousness, you reap in mercy, that God might rain down his righteousness. I don't want the fire. I want the rain. What the rain? Can you imagine going through, and this happens from time to time, but people will burn a field. I don't want my field burned. I want rain on my field. Amen? The rain of God. But how do we do this? He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Now, this is a tremendous word. It's a precise word. Amen? You see, sometimes when we get into this thing, notice what he says here in verse number 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. Thou shalt swear, and the Lord liveth, in truth and judgment and righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among your thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, lest my fury, and of Jerusalem, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. Here's what we go through. We say, over here is where I'm at. Over here is where the Lord is. Okay? So Lord's over here, and I slide back. Ooh. All of this over here. So if I'm going to return, I've got to leave this. Not only do I have to leave this, but I can't take it with me. Notice what he says. Put away thine abominations out of my sight. That means I can't pick up my abominations and say, oh, well, we'll just take those with me. Take them over here, and now I'm with the Lord. No. I must leave those over here. But my question is this. Why is it that we focus on what we're separating from as opposed to what we're separating to? Look what he says. Verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Obviously, that term there in circumcise is a separation. It's a precise separation. That's why this word is used here. So that means, precisely, I'm cutting myself off. Whew. and to something else. Cutting myself off from over here. And I'm separating myself unto the Lord, or to the Lord. I'm joining myself to the Lord. Now you tell me, in everything you know about God, in everything you know about His Word, what would you rather have? This? Or this? What would you rather have? Would you rather have the fury that's going to come forth like a fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings? Would you rather have the reign of righteousness upon your life by separating yourselves to the Lord? To the Lord. We have to separate ourselves. So it means we have to remove ourselves from what was the beginning of our fallow ground. You see, that ground that we began cultivating, that ground that we began to till up, was when we were over here, but in order to have that fruit, we had to have stayed here, but we've abandoned this field to come back over into here. There's not much reaping. And any reaping we have is thorns. What did Jeremiah say? Don't sow among the thorns. That's what we've been doing over here. Thorns hurt, y'all. I mean, just go ahead and reach in there. Put some gloves on. Oh, that'll help. Gloves don't help thorns all the time. Not if you squeeze down. Wear two pairs of gloves. No. I mean, really? We'd rather stay here among the thorns because I don't want to be over here. You realize those are the only options. Now look, it might hurt. Look, he said circumcise yourselves. There is some pain that comes with circumcision. Amen. It comes. It hurts. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't hurt like fire hurts. You get this. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart. He says, remove it. You men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of your evil doings. He said, Jeremiah, verse number 5, declare ye in Judah, publish in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet of the land, in the land. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up a standard toward Zion. Retire and stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate. Thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, what the heart of the king shall perish. And the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. And God allowed Jeremiah to give us his thoughts. When I first read this, I thought, what an interesting statement. Jeremiah said, then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. Was God deceiving these people? Certainly not. If thou wilt return. If thou wilt return, huge word there. It's only two letters, but how huge is it? If. How many times have we said that in our lives? If only. Oh, if I had only. Well, if God said, if thou wilt return. Return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, and thou shalt not be removed, or thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Says, Lord, surely you've deceived these people. They think they're going to have peace. They think they're going to have all of these things. If you continue reading, in verse number 11, he says, at that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come upon unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Notice he's giving sentence here. How do you get sentencing in? You stand before the judge and he sentences. You've been found guilty, and here's the sentence. He said in verse number 13, behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Look at verse number 13 real quickly there. Jeremiah is speaking again, and he says, woe unto us. He's including himself here. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled, not as spoiled children, but as in a ransacked spoilage. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge with thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publish affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah and the keepers of a field. You see that? A field. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. And here's Jeremiah. My bowels. Oh, from the pit of his stomach. You ever get that uneasy feeling within your gut? That guilt wrenching, oh my goodness, I'm sick to my stomach. Not from a flu-like symptom, but a guilt-like symptom. Jeremiah says, my bowels. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Because thou hast heard. Oh, my soul.